This is a new episode of the podcast AI Unraveled, created and produced by Etienne Newman, a senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take a stack of information and extract the most interesting and important insights just for you, our listener.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're finding these deep dives valuable, please take just a moment to like and subscribe to the podcast on Apple. It really helps us out.
So today we're doing something a little different to really capture, you know, just how fast AI is moving. Instead of looking back over weeks or months, we're zeroing in just one day, April 16th, 2025. We're drawing from the sort of daily chronicle of AI innovations to see what happened.
Exactly. Like a little time capsule snapshot from, well, not too long ago, really.
Right.
And honestly, even in just 24 hours, so much was going on. We're going to cover quite a bit. OpenAI potentially launching a social network with AI image generation.
Yeah.
AI models playing detective, which sounds fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, big leaps in creating video, code, pretty much everything with AI. Ready to jump in?
Absolutely. Let's kick things off with OpenAI, their social network ambitions.
Okay, yeah. So OpenAI, you know, the ChatGPT folks, they're apparently thinking beyond just the chatbot stuff. Reports say they're developing their own social media platform. And the interesting part, integrated ChatGPT image generation.
Right. So you can create images and share them right there. It's not just about competing with, say, X, though that's probably part of it. But I think the deeper strategy is likely about the data.
The data. Always the data, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Think about it. Every image made, every interaction, it's labeled data. Perfect fuel for training their AI models. It's kind of a self-feeding machine.
That makes a lot of sense. Not just market share, but feeding the core tech. And I heard Sam Altman, the CEO, has been asking for feedback.
Yeah, apparently so. It sounds like it's still early stages, you know, just an idea floating around maybe. But the potential, it's pretty big. Imagine a social feed where most visuals are just AI creations.
It definitely makes you wonder about, like, authenticity online, right? What's real, what's generated. And yeah, the data OpenAI could get. Massive advantage.
Yeah.
So key takeaway. It's a strategic AI play, not just another app.
Exactly. It's about AI dominance, potentially.
Okay, so speaking of big tech and maybe some challenges, NVIDIA also popped up in our April 16th snapshot, facing some headwinds.
Yes, and this is pretty significant stuff. Could impact the whole semiconductor supply chain, really. The U.S. government brought in new restrictions, specifically on exporting NVIDIA's H20 AI chips to China.
H20 chips. Okay. Oh, and the financial hit is big.
Looks like it. They're anticipating about $5.5 billion. That's the figure being thrown around. And yeah, the market definitely noticed. NVIDIA's shares dipped almost 6% right after the announcement.
Wow. Okay. So why these H20 chips specifically? Weren't they already sort of modified for China?
That's the interesting part. Yes, NVIDIA actually created the H20 to comply with earlier U.S. trade rules for China. But now the U.S. has tightened things up again. The goal seems to be preventing China from using these chips in their AI-powered supercomputers. National security concerns, basically.
Right. So it's part of that bigger U.S.-China tech tension we keep seeing.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for everyone else, though, globally?
Well, these kinds of moves, they can definitely disrupt global supply chains. Lots of companies rely on these high-end chips. Plus, it might just push China to accelerate its own chip-making efforts even faster. Could lead to a more, you know, fragmented tech world. So the insight is really about the potential ripple effects on the global AI hardware scene.
Okay, let's pivot a bit. While NVIDIA deals with restrictions, others are adding new features. Anthropic, giving Claude a voice.
That's right. Looks like they're getting ready to launch a voice mode for their Claude chatbot, kind of catching up to OpenAI and Google, who already have voice features. And the reported voice options sound interesting. They mention mellow, airy, and buttery.
Buttery. I love that. Maybe a British accent. That could be quite charming.
That's what the speculation is. Yeah, a British accent.
So the goal is just making it feel more natural to talk to Claude.
Pretty much. Enhancing user interaction, making it more conversational, more accessible. Think hands-free use, having stuff read aloud, just a more, you know, human-like chat. It's becoming kind of table stakes for these big AI chatbots now having a voice.
Makes sense. And sticking with Beyond Text, Elon Musk's XAI has something called Grok Studio.
Yeah, Grok Studio. It sounds like more than just your standard chat interface. They're describing it as a sort of canvas environment.
A canvas. What can you do on it?
Create and edit documents, apparently. Write code, debug code, even build simple browser games, all within Grok.
Whoa, okay. That's a pretty big step up from just Q&A. And collaboration too. I think I saw something about that.
You did. Real-time collaboration is mentioned, plus Google Drive integration. So yeah, you could potentially use it for team projects, pull in existing files. It definitely pushes Grok beyond simple chat into more of a like AI-powered workspace.
So the trend is AI getting baked right into our workflows, our creative tools.
Exactly. More integrated, more versatile.
Right, let's talk visuals. Video and image generation seems like things are moving incredibly fast there too. Kling AI 2.0.
Yes, Kling AI. Their 2.0 update sounds quite powerful. It uses what they call a multimodal visual language system, or MVL. Basically, it means you can use text, images, even other video clips as input to generate and edit videos and images.
Okay, so more flexible inputs
Yeah.
and the quality.
They're claiming significant improvements. Better motion quality, it understands the prompts, better semantic responsiveness, they call it, and just generally better looking results. They even put out internal benchmarks claiming it beats Google Veo 2 and Runway Gen 4.
Bold claim. What specific improvements are they highlighting?
Okay, so their KLion 2.0 master model is apparently really good with sequential actions. You describe a sequence, it creates a cinematic video with smooth transitions. Then Kaler's 2.0 for images generates in over 60 styles, but keeps the elements and colors you asked for. Plus new editing stuff, inpainting for images, adding or removing things seamlessly, and restyling images. And their older video model, 1.6, gets an update too, a multi-elements editor. Easier to swap bits based on text.
It really sounds like they're giving creators a lot more control, finer control.
Absolutely. It's about more sophisticated manipulation of visual content using AI, a big leap for AI video tools.
Okay, switching gears to something maybe a bit more practical day-to-day.
Yeah.
N8N, the automation platform. They have an AI data analyst template now.
Yeah, this sounds pretty neat. N8N has put out a workflow template, lets you build your own AI chatbot that acts like a data analyst. The cool part is you can hook it up to your data sources, Google Sheets, databases, whatever.
Yeah, it just crunches the numbers for you.
Essentially, yeah. It uses an AI agent like OpenAI's models to do calculations, find insights, and then it can send those insights back to you via Gmail or Slack.
So even if you're not a coder or a data scientist, you can automate some analysis.
That's the idea. NAN gives you the blocks, the trigger, the AI node, the data connections, the communication parts. You tell the AI what you want analyzed, and it goes off and does it. Makes data analysis much more accessible, democratizing it, really.
Yeah, I can see that being super helpful for small teams or individuals without dedicated analysts.
Exactly. Lowers the barrier to getting those AI-powered insights.
All right, now for something a bit different, maybe a bit fun, AI playing detective in. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Ha! Yeah, it's a great experiment. Researchers at UC San Diego from the How AI Lab, they wanted to see how current AI models handle the kind of complex reasoning that game demands. You know, finding contradictions, presenting evidence, it's all about context and nuance.
Objection. So, did the AIs crack the case?
Well, not quite. Some did okay. GPT 4.1 from OpenAI and Google's Gemini 2.5 Pro did the best. They found a decent number of correct evidence pieces, 26 and 20 respectively, getting them to level 4 in the game. But they didn't fully solve the cases. And interestingly, the brand new GPT 4.1 actually did worse than the slightly older Claude 3.5 Sonnet on this specific task. Only 6 correct IDs.
Huh. That is surprising. Usually newer means better. What does that tell us?
It really shows that nuanced, context-heavy reasoning is still a big challenge for AI. Things like understanding subtle implications, complex inferences, navigating twisting narratives is hard. So yeah, AI is powerful, but human-level reasoning in these tricky scenarios, still a work in progress. Context is still king.
Got it. Okay, let's touch on the political side briefly. Former President Trump's AI infrastructure plans.
Yeah.
Facing some pushback.
That's what the reports on April 16th suggested. Specifics on his plans were a bit thin, but some Republicans, particularly noted in Texas, were raising concerns. Things like data privacy, government overreach, maybe unclear economic benefits.
So even within the same party, there might not be full agreement on a big national AI push. Could that slow things down for the U.S. globally?
It potentially could, yeah. If there's internal division and a lack of clear consensus, it might hinder progress on large-scale AI projects, especially when other countries might have more unified national strategies. Politics definitely plays a role in the pace of tech development.
Right. Now, it's something a bit worrying, perhaps. Deepfake voices getting harder to spot.
Very much so. There was a study mentioned, published in New Scientist. It found people are really bad at telling real voices from AI-generated ones, consistently failing. Even people who work with audio professionally, like sound engineers, were wrong more than half the time.
Wow, more than half the time, even for experts.
Yeah.
Concerning. The potential for misuse seems huge.
It really is. Misinformation, fraud. If you can't trust if you're hearing a real person or not, it opens up a lot of problems. It really highlights the urgent need for, better audio authentication tools. And to general public awareness, we need to be more critical listeners.
Definitely. A real need for tech solutions and education there. Okay, shifting back to industry moves. Hugging Face getting into robotics.
Yes, they acquired a humanoid robotics startup. The specific company wasn't named, but the move is clear. It signals they want to bring their AI models, which are mostly software now, into physical bodies, embodied AI.
So applying open source AI principles to hardware to robots, what could that lead to?
Could really accelerate things. Imagine open source AI tools making it easier and cheaper to build smarter, more capable robots. Could boost development in autonomous systems, personal robotics, making advanced robotics more accessible potentially. It's an interesting convergence.
Yeah, bridging the software AI world with the physical world. Okay, back to OpenAI quickly. A couple of user updates for ChatGPT.
Yes, smaller things but useful. They added an image library section, lets you see and manage all the images you've generated with ChatGPT across desktop and mobile, just a central place for your creations.
Makes sense. If you're making lots of images, you need a way to find them again easily. Good usability update.
Exactly. Better user control helps position ChatGPT as a solid creative tool.
And the big OpenAI news from that day was GPT 4.1 launching, right? The successor to GPT 4.0.
Yes, that was the major release. GPT 4.1. They're claiming significant boosts in performance, especially in coding, following instructions, nuanced ones, and handling really long text inputs, up to 1 million tokens, which is huge.
1 million tokens. That's like a whole book's worth of context it can handle.
Pretty much, yeah, massive
Right.
context window. And they launched it in three flavors, too. There's the standard GPT 4.1, a cheaper mini version, and a nano version, which they say is the fastest and most affordable.
Okay, so offering different tiers for different needs and budgets makes the advanced tech more reachable.
That seems to be the goal, positioning it as a powerful, efficient tool for developers building complex AI systems. It's the next generation of their core model.
Definitely setting a new benchmark. More power, more efficiency.
For sure. Likely to fuel a lot more innovation in AI apps.
Now, let's contrast that with Apple. How are they tackling AI development, especially with their focus on privacy?
Apple's taking a notably different path. Their plan is to improve AI by analyzing user data on the device itself. They're using techniques like differential privacy, generating synthetic data, all to try and keep individual user data private while still learning from it.
So less data going to the cloud, more processing happening locally on your iPhone or Mac.
That's the core idea, yeah.
Yeah.
To avoid some pitfalls of purely synthetic data, they want to analyze real but anonymized data samples locally. They mentioned looking at samples from apps like Mail, for instance, to improve features in their Apple Intelligence Suite, like message summaries.
It's definitely the Apple way, isn't it?
It
Trying to
is.
balance AI advancement with that strong privacy stance. Be interesting to see how well it works compared to the cloud-heavy approaches.
Absolutely. It's their way of trying to get the best of both worlds, navigating that tricky trade-off.
Okay, we also saw a new cybersecurity threat mentioned. Slop squatting. Sounds messy.
Hey, yeah, the name is evocative. It's a clever, slightly worrying threat. It exploits AI code generation tools. Sometimes these AI assistants hallucinate. They suggest names for software packages or libraries that don't actually exist.
Okay, so where's the attack?
Attackers watch for these commonly hallucinated names, then they quickly register those fake names and upload malicious code under that name. So a developer, trusting the AI suggestion, might accidentally install this malicious package.
Oof, that's sneaky. So you think you're installing a legit library suggested by your AI helper, but you're actually pulling in malware.
Exactly. It means developers need to be really vigilant. Double-check dependencies, even if an AI suggested them. Don't blindly trust the generated code suggestions. It's a new attack vector opened up by AI assistants.
Good warning. AI tools are great, but verification is key. Okay, let's talk ByteDance, the TikTok parent company. They have a new video model, Seaweed 7B.
Yes, Seaweed 7B. It's a 7 billion parameter model, so it's actually smaller than some other big video models out there like Sora. But despite the smaller size, it's reportedly very efficient and capable, generating high-quality video from text or images, up to 20 seconds, decent resolution.
It does different things. Text to video, image to video.
All of those. Plus audio-driven synthesis making video match an audio track. And apparently it scores really well in human evaluations, sometimes beating larger models, especially on animating still images. It can handle complex stuff too, multi-shot stories, camera control, realistic human animation, lip syncing, all with a focus on efficiency.
So efficiency is the key here, getting great results without needing an absolutely massive model.
That seems to be a major angle. It challenges the idea that bigger is always better in AI. You can get high quality video generation more cost effectively, democratizes it a bit more.
Interesting. A smaller, efficient model holding its own. Now, for something really out there, Google trying to talk to dolphins using AI.
Huh. Well, understand them at least and maybe communicate eventually. It's a collaboration with the Wild Dolphin Project and Georgia Tech. They developed an AI model called Dolphin Gemma, trained on decades of dolphin recordings, captured using Pixel phones, actually.
Decades of dolphin sounds. What's the AI doing with that?
It's analyzing the vocalizations, the clicks and whistles, looking for patterns, trying to predict sequences, similar to how LLMs learn human language structure. The big dream is this chat system cetacean hearing and telemetry, which might allow some form of two-way interaction down the line. They even built an underwater Pixel 9 device for it.
Wow. That is ambitious. And they're open sourcing the model.
Yeah. Dolphin Gemma is planned for open source release this summer, so other researchers can use it to study dolphin communication too. It's a really fascinating application of AI trying to decode non-human intelligence. Huge potential for marine biology.
Just incredible. Imagine understanding dolphin conversations. Amazing. Okay, one quick practical tool update. Google AI Studio's branching feature.
Right, just a small but useful feature for developers using Google AI Studio. It lets you explore different conversation turns without losing your place. You can start a main chat, then branch off to try a different prompt or response, then jump back. Helps with testing different conversational flows, debugging, just makes development easier.
Like exploring parallel universes in your chat development. Handy.
Exactly. Better workflow for building those agents.
Okay, before we wrap this incredibly packed day, let's just rattle off some of the other things that happened on April 16th, 2025. It was nonstop.
It really was, so quickly. OpenAI updated their safety rules, their preparedness framework. They also, as we said, added the image library in ChatGPT. xAI launched Grok Studio, that canvas tool. Cohere released Embed 4, a new multimodal embedding model. Google put VO2 video generation into the Gemini app and AI Studio. Microsoft let Copilot Studio interact more directly with your computer. NVIDIA announced its first US AI manufacturing sites in Arizona and Texas. OpenAI reportedly prepping two new research models, O3 and A4 Mini. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy really hyped up GenAI in his shareholder letter. Meta announced plans to train AI on public EU user content, but with an opt-out. Hugging Face, besides the robotic startup, also introduced Ricci2, an open-source humanoid. LM Arena launched a leaderboard for search-focused LLMs. And NATO gave Palantir a contract for an AI system for battlefield use.
Absolutely. That's a lot for one single day. Just hammers home the sheer speed and breadth of AI development.
Absolutely. From core models to safety frameworks, creative tools, hardware robotics, military applications, it's touching everything and accelerating.
And, you know, with all this happening so fast, just on one day, keeping up is tough. And actually mastering the skills you need to be part of it all. That's even harder. Which, actually, is a perfect moment to mention Etienne Newman's AI-powered Jamgantic app again. It's built specifically to help people learn and pass those critical certifications. We're talking over 50 of them. Cloud finance, cybersecurity, healthcare, business, all the hot areas. It really is like having an AI tutor guiding you. If you want to build those in-demand skills, definitely check it out. The links are right there in the show notes.
It really is striking looking at that single day. The diversity is incredible. You see AI weaving into social media, revolutionizing creative work, becoming essential for data analysis, and even reaching out to understand animal communication. Plus the constant drumbeat of new models from the big players just pushing the limit.
It really does make you stop and think, doesn't it? If that's just one day. What does the AI landscape look like in, say, 6 months?
Yeah.
A year. And the bigger question, maybe, how does all this relentless change affect how we actually live and work day to day?
It's the key question, isn't it? It underlines why staying informed, being adaptable, and continuous learning are just so crucial in this field right now.
Absolutely. And again, if you are looking to learn and adapt and get those skills that are really driving this revolution, do check out Etienne Newman's AI-powered Jamgantic app. Links are in the show notes.
Well, thanks for joining us on this whirlwind tour of just one day in the amazing, fast-paced world of AI.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Until our next deep dive, keep exploring and stay curious.